Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm living my best life. Yeah, yeah.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
With guest host Brian Weber.
Yeah, big shoes to fill. Eisen's a legend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
Do you know who I am? I'm a guy on television. I have my own show.
And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Brian Weber.
It is the final hour of the program. Final hour of what has been a sensational week, at least from my perspective. Always a blast to keep the chair warm, sit in for Rich, make sure that his magnificent brand is intact when Mr. Eisen and the gang come back from vacation on Monday. Simulcast is back as well. If you haven't checked out all of the visuals on the Roku channel, be sure to do so. It is a free offering as well. And as part of the Not Ready for the Simulcast players, yours truly and my good friend and our outstanding technical producer, Art Martinez, we're doing our best to maintain the momentum of the program. It's also last call for interaction, 844-204-7424. Rich will take your calls on Monday, and you can continue to have at it over on the X platform. Keep the tweets coming. BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. Reason that I'm giving you those parameters of last call with an hour in front of us. Coming up in 40 minutes, we'll bring in our second and final guest. We're talking college football with my old friend who will certainly probably beat me to a Beverly Hills Cop reference because he follows me on X, Pete Futak of collegefootballnews.com. And you might be thinking, hey, loud, annoying, over-enunciating guy, whoever you are, why are you talking college football? Now, the answer could be, I can talk about whatever I want to. That's not fair. Although I always enjoyed when we'd have a substitute gym teacher come in. Yeah, because it was so hard to be the PE teacher in 1982. And, of course, unruly, sugar-laden kids, because in the 80s our parents were laissez-faire and didn't care about the crap we ate, are running around not listening to this dude. And I remember his name was Mr. Gainey. He claimed to be a cousin of Bob Gainey of the Canadians dynasty. It's another contemporary reference. Mr. Gainey, we used to say, hey, kids, I can play dodgeball all day long. So if you don't listen to me, I'm just going to go outside. And I guess the threat was he was going to play by himself. So I try not to have that kind of delusional mindset as a fill-in host. But I'm not just picking college football because I'm a college football fan. There are noteworthy reasons to do so. This has been a historic week. Pac-12 is officially dead, although it's been dead for a long time. Texas, Oklahoma, officially part of the SEC. And the Big 12, however many teams now occupy that conference, is going to kick off the cycle of media days next Wednesday. That's the earliest start ever. And they're going to Vegas, baby. So the minute I hear coaches at a podium complaining about NIL and these players finally getting compensated after these fat cats have been getting millions for years, I don't even have a problem with the coaching staff so much. It's all of the empty suits in the athletic departments making hundreds of thousands of dollars off the back of unpaid labor before NIL. Once I have coaches complaining, standing there wearing their polyester school colors, I know college football is back. Plus, I hope to be back with you on Labor Day, and when we get there, college football will be fully going, because remember, week zero is prior to Labor Day. Labor Day, wall-to-wall college football. So, with college football on our minds, with a lot of NFL conversation behind us, today we have talked Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, the dysfunction of the Cowboys, Tom Brady, A.J. Brown reacting to All of the takeaways from a largely unwatchable debut of the off-season edition of Hard Knocks, I now am going to venture back to the NBA briefly. And I've had a lot of filibustering to start this hour because I know some of you are full when it comes to hoops conversation. I get it. I think we're all full after yesterday, even though Joey Chestnut wasn't there as a national hero on Coney Island. The NBA took what used to be a grand platform to draw in casual fans with their free agent frenzy in terms of speculation, drama, and intrigue, and they boiled it down to a new lifeless approach that featured two quote-unquote stars, and I'm not bashing Klay Thompson, he's a Hall of Famer. But at this stage of his career, there's a reason why the Warriors felt comfortable in letting him walk. As the week progressed, we got more reporting, led by Ramona Shelburne, who's an outstanding basketball journalist for ESPN, saying that her sources told her Klay's people came back to the Warriors and said, we'll take 2 years, roughly $20 million per, to stay with the team, and the Warriors wouldn't even give him a no. They would say, we can't tell you yet. Well, that's a no. And Klay and his representatives are shrewd. They realized it was time to leave. They resisted the urge to take the most lucrative deal, could have gotten a fourth year to go to the Lakers, but Klay, of all people, knows how broken the Lakers are. After all, his father, Michael, former number one overall pick coming out of Minnesota, won a couple rings with the Showtime Lakers. He's been part of the franchise since retirement as their longtime radio analyst. Klay said thanks, but no thanks, even after LeBron was so magnanimous to pick up the phone and personally lobbying Klay. And Klay looked around the league and said, where's my best landing spot that can help me win another ring? And undeniably, based on the mutual interest, it was Dallas. So we had the Klay situation, which I think not only gives him a chance to at least compete for another title, takes the pressure off because he's, if you look through how that roster is assembled, he's the third option clearly on a team that made an unlikely run as a four seed all the way to the NBA Finals, led by Luka. And Kyrie had a terrific postseason until he disappeared in the finals, primarily in Boston. A lot of that felt like psychology and the intensity of the Boston crowd getting in his head based on all of their history shared between them. So, like that move, but at the same time, I don't think Dallas had the best free agency cycle in the West. For that, you got to look at the top of the standings. So back to my central premise. After everything that happened over the last 3 days, I capped it with the Buddy Hield move. Seems like I'm taking shots at Buddy, and I love saying Buddy. If you ever run into me in real life, I know it'll be a wonderful conversation. I'll probably call you Buddy 3 or 4 times, which is a trick I got from my grandfather. I shouldn't say this at my workplace because people are going to think I'm talking about them individually. I know the people I work with and their names. I mentioned my pal Art Martinez doing a great job as our technical producer. But in life, my grandfather didn't have a great memory and would forget people's names, so he called everyone Buddy so he didn't have to remember. Hey, Buddy, how are you, pal? And he'd just keep on moving. Buddy Hield brings the Warriors what Klay was offering as a shell of himself this year. And I'm not picking on Klay. He's 34, and he's coming off two significant injuries. I know if you look at the raw numbers, he still averaged something like 17 points a game, and he's always going to be a 40% sharpshooter from three-point range because that is the foundation of his Hall of Fame career and how he helped the Warriors win those 4 rings. But you get Buddy Hield 2 years for a combined $21 million. You throw in Kyle Anderson. I remember him years ago at UCLA, a reserve on the T-Wolves, and the Warriors actually did something to take the next step forward as they tried to reset the team, understanding that this year they didn't even make it out of the play-in. So what do you get with hoping for the health to continue for Steph Curry as he gets older, hoping that Draymond can somehow figure out anger management issues and not lose his mind repeatedly? maybe a 6 seed, maybe a 7 seed, but at least the Warriors did something. And they have some young talent on that team, obviously, with Kuminga showing flashes towards the end of last season. They're not certainly in the upper echelon of the rugged Western Conference, but at least they have a shot. I can't say that for the Lakers at all, because they did nothing, literally nothing. And with the Summer League tipping off tomorrow in Sacramento, that's a step down from the more interesting tournament in Vegas, if there is such a thing as a gradation in Summer League basketball. Lakers play tomorrow. That means even more analysis of Bronny James. And I've spent too much time talking about a second-round pick who went 55th overall, who has no business being drafted, because we all know what happened there. That was the Lakers capitulating to LeBron, and good for LeBron. He made more history. And if you have kids, I don't. That's why I'm just such a compelling talk show host. If you're a father and you have a chance to do something significant with your son, wouldn't you do it? Sure. It was just so crass. All the Lakers had to do was sign him as an undrafted free agent, as would be much more merited based on what we saw from him in a very brief cameo of a one-and-done college career at USC, in part because Bronny was coming back from cardiac arrest, and we shouldn't in any way minimize the achievement that he's even continuing his career. So I'm rooting for Bronny. I just feel badly that he's in this situation. But obviously, it's what the old man wanted, and they're going to make history when they play together. But if the Lakers care about winning, tell me in any tangible way how they got better. Because as of today, the lone additions on the roster are Dalton Knecht, the first-round pick, who was also on that podium next to Bronny, although virtually the invisible man because he got two questions from the assembled media, and then it was all Bronny all the time. Lakers did well there. If you follow the draft, Knecht was projected to go top 10. He fell into their lap at 17. The other new face is Bronny. That's it. So if you're a Laker hunk, good luck. And don't tweet at me, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs, and tell me, no, we're going to get DeMar DeRozan. Okay. So you need another old dude, because DeMar is going to be 35 in August. And if he's still available, there's a reason why. Plus, if you actually wanted him, Lakers would have to get rid of the contract of D'Angelo Russell, and the Bulls aren't taking it because they have a semblance of a game plan, and they're not as terribly run as the Lakers. There's a reason the Lakers are in this mess. They've thrown the keys to LeBron, who got his kid a job, and he got his podcast co-host the head coaching job. And Rob Pelinka, other than figuring out on the fly how to try to clean up the mess he created after picking up Russell Westbrook and was able to cobble together a starting five with Reeves and Hachimura, other than that, clearly Pelinka's overmatched as well. But the Lakers don't care about that. They just want their star power. They want a filled arena. And this team is in exactly the same spot heading into next season as they were at the end of last season. A play-in team that won that play-in game and got swept by the Nuggets. But LeBron, at this stage of his career, doesn't prioritize more championships. He's enjoying his lifestyle, and he's taking a victory lap by coming up with another milestone to get his kid into the league so we can have that picture on its way to the Hall of Fame, the first father and son tandem ever to play together. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. We're going to talk college football coming up in 30 minutes when we check in with Pete Futek of collegefootballnews.com. So that's the bottom of the top eight. The Lakers, Warriors slightly in front of them. Remember, OKC is getting, hopefully, a healthy Ja Morant back. Pardon me, Memphis is getting the young but troubled superstar back, and they were the 2 seed a couple years ago. I had OKC on the top of my mind because as I'm thinking about teams that really help themselves, you got to go with the Thunder, already ahead of schedule as the top seed in the West this year, adding Caruso, adding Hartenstein, exactly what they needed. A rugged defender and a rim protector tacked on to a tremendous young core with a star already established in SGA, and Sam Presti has done it again. So if we're thinking about, even though there's been diminished interest in free agency because of this new CBA, and I'll try to explain that in a pain-free fashion in passing, it points out even more, given the limitations of this revised collective bargaining agreement, you have to have a GM who knows what he's doing. Sam Presti has demonstrated that. Nico Harrison, the GM of the Mavs, demonstrated that. He did it prior to the trade deadline when he made those deals to pick up Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington, and he just did it again by doing what the Lakers failed to do. The reason Klay Thompson fits nicely in Dallas is because Dallas exiled Tim Hardaway Jr. to Detroit to create the cap space. So they're playing a couple moves ahead, whereas broken teams like the Lakers are just making it up as they go. So if we're thinking about how things are stacked up in the West, more of the same at the top of the conference. Not sure what's going on in Denver. And look, I'm not trying to be a contrarian. As long as you've got the Joker and you got Murray, you got a very good chance. And remember, they could have been the top seed if they cared about it. They rested towards the business end of the regular season. They had a 20-point lead at home in Game 7 against Minnesota, and it all fell apart. Now, to me, some of that is the Nuggets don't have as complete a roster because of the attrition that's happened in recent years. I keep going back to Bruce Brown. I'm not putting a Hall of Fame blazer on him, but he played key minutes. And you can't tell me Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was not an instrumental factor in that championship run, because he did the same thing for the Lakers when they won the title in the bubble in 2020. Both are gone. And both of those moves largely come down to Stan Kroenke, owner of the Nuggets and the Rams and the Avalanche. If you can own three teams, you got to have deep pockets, and he's got Walmart money. So no need for a big sale. But Kroenke used this new CBA, and the term you keep hearing over and over again, oh, it's the second apron, we can't do anything, we're in handcuffs, as PR cover, just to not spend the money required to keep this team intact. And that was the whole point of this new CBA. Billionaire owners were tired of getting embarrassed. Now, they can just say, oh, I want to spend the money, I can't, because if I go into the second apron, all of these punitive things kick in. Well, think about how a collective bargaining agreement comes about. It's a negotiation, and these guys are billionaires for a reason other than those who were either born on third base financially or, like Kroenke, married into the Walton family. I don't know what Denver's doing other than saying to their fan base, hey, we got you the ring. You've been waiting for that since the ABA. Lighten up. What, you think we're going to win every year? Because been a lot of inertia. Still, you got to slot them top four right there with OKC. And Minnesota will be better based on the acquired knowledge of their terrific playoff run. The West is going to be fascinated. And I mentioned Morant in passing. And yes, he's still part of the Grizzlies. I'm just rooting for him to figure out his life off the court, because Ja, going back to his college career, is a dynamic talent. He just can't get out of his own way, personally, it feels like. Over to the East, the one move that really stands out to me is the one move that we waited all of 6 hours to happen. When we started free agency back on Sunday, and I went to bed getting ready for Monday's show, I did not expect to wake up and Paul George already making it official he was going to Philadelphia. And that, again, is a reflection of a shrewd GM in Daryl Morey, who stockpiled all of the necessary cap space to have the ability to get the marquee free agent. The fact that it was Paul George speaks to a down year in free agency, but they got the guy they wanted. Now, what are they getting exactly? A 34-year-old player who's been more injury-prone, who has never played in the NBA Finals, and who walks away from his tenure with the Clippers, having been to one conference finals with Kawhi, 2021, overall, three playoff series, 1 in 5 years. not all the fault of Paul George, but he's not as dominant a player as he used to be, but he's not going to have to play that role in Philly because, like Klay Thompson, he's the third man. If I went for a wrestling analogy, it'd be like Hulk Hogan showing up at Bass at the Beach, but I don't want to destroy the program. Who's the third man in Philadelphia? It's Paul George. But the entire outlook of that franchise comes down to health. Can George stay healthier? And ultimately, it all is about Joel Embiid. And I'm a huge fan. And I don't want to yada, yada, yada over what Embiid was dealing with coming back this year. The knee injury, migraines. He had a case of Bell's palsy, which just had to be jarring to deal with. And he still showed up and played damn well. So if you're a Sixer fan, just pray to the basketball gods that for once, Embiid is totally healthy heading into the playoffs. Now George, you load manage to make sure that he's near 100%, and you ride the hot hand of Tyrese Maxey, but you put it all together, Philadelphia has only narrowed the gap between them and Boston. Boston still clearly the team to beat in all of basketball, well-run franchise. Tatum with the eye-popping deal, $314 million. Brown got $285 last year. But on the margins, they made sure the entire starting five from that championship team is back. I love the signing of Derek White, making sure he went nowhere. So it's Boston 1, Philly getting closer at 2. I put them 2-way right in front of the Knicks at 2-B. Very positive outlook for the Knickerbockers, the Nova Knicks now, with the addition of Mikal Bridges and making sure that OG Anunoby didn't go anywhere. There is your core three, and as long as Milwaukee has Giannis and Dame, I'm going to give them a shot. But again, just like we discussed with the Sixers' mindset, I need to see more of Giannis being available in high-leverage situations. Unfortunately, just unable to stay healthy after winning that ring a few years ago. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. We're talking college football in 20 minutes when we say hello to Pete Futek of collegefootballnews.com. A reminder, especially during this long holiday week, it is grilling season. So, ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that is safe for metal tools. It is pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly, edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy. You can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle. In addition to the college football conversation on the docket, straight ahead, an NBA player banned for life is reportedly going to plead guilty next week to a federal charge. Have we already become numb to sports gambling scandals? That's coming up as we continue on this busy Friday. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich, right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hey, everybody, this just in. It's summertime. It's time to go and do all those summer things, like going to a baseball game. during the summer. I'm about to do exactly that, and I know exactly what to do, and you should too. You should go look forward to making new memories this year by going to a ball game using Game Time, the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch, so you can wait to buy your tickets with killer last-minute deals. The all-in prices feature, you get to see how much everything is before you purchase. Views from your seat, you know exactly where you're getting your seat, and the view of the field from it. Their lowest price guarantee, of course, that's Game Time. Takes the guesswork completely out of buying MLB tickets. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm Brian Weber, and I'm proudly sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Conversation never stops on the X platform. You can hit me up after the program, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. I'll check out what you tweet in the interim, but because I have fallen into the pattern of falling in love with my voice to open these hours, we went long in the monologue, probably better because this is going to be a lot more of a sermon than many of you want to hear, talking sports and gambling coming up. We will keep this in a more buttoned-down fashion because I want to have plenty of time to stretch out with my pal Pete Futak of collegefootballnews.com in 10 minutes. If you're wondering why we're talking college football, wrapping up the Independence Week, holiday week, at least in terms of the business Monday through Friday portion of it, Big 12 media days Tuesday and Wednesday in Las Vegas. And once we get to these press conferences in which coaches say nothing and the preseason polls, got to write that down, bulletin board material, that's when I feel like I have permission to go all in college football, which historically I've loved as much or even, to be totally transparent, more than the NFL because it was so different. Stadium settings, bands, old traditions, regional rivalries, and a lot of that is gone based on, you guessed it, following the almighty dollar. At the same time, I'm here during a holiday week. I was here July 4th. I hope to be back Labor Day. I was here Memorial Day. That either tells you I'm paranoid and I grab every bit of work I can, and there's some truth to that, or I'm a capitalist. I am motivated by compensation. So I don't want what I'm about to say to come across as me telling you how to spend your money. I understand the appeal of sports wagering. If you have a couple bucks on the game, it means more. I fully get it. But I also understand the negative consequences that come with gambling, not just sports gambling, any kind of gambling. So all these cliches kick in. Bet with your head, not over it. And unfortunately, like anything in life, if you like a couple glasses of red wine, great. If you drink four bottles, we've got a problem. So the preface is, I am not coming out in some puritanical fashion telling you, don't gamble, it's bad for you. It's not even morality or ethics. But I do think it's interesting. In the handful of years since the Supreme Court decided that it should be a state-by-state decision, and it's fascinating here in California, we still don't have legalized sports gambling. Although, imagine if it was legal, what would have happened to Shohei Ohtani's interpreter? Is that guy the worst gambler of all time? If I was doing topic radio, I could have started the hour with that. Although, I guess, because we found out Tocopita Marcano was betting on baseball last year when he played for the Pirates. Now, he's been banned for life. His ratio was about as horrendous as Shohei's interpreter. But here in California, you still have to find somebody off the books, or probably with a bookie, if you want to get action down. We're going state by state. It'll go to all 50 states, maybe not Utah for cultural reasons, but it's only going to get bigger and bigger. And you'd have to be paying no attention to any games you're watching or any sports content you're listening to, because the ads are ubiquitous. And I will be totally upfront with you. If somebody wants me to host a gambling show, I'll do it, because I did fantasy football shows for 6 years at FoxSports.com. I follow the money. But I do find it interesting that in the infancy of legalized sports gambling, we've already had some massive scandals. And I'm not putting Otani in that category. If you want to go conspiracy theory, you want to go tinfoil hat, you can do it. I think it's been proven Otani is the victim of a horrible crime here. And I know you're going to push back and say, wait a minute, how did Ipe, his interpreter, get all that money from the bank? And as far as we could tell, it's several banks, that was gross malfeasance by the banks, that they didn't do their due diligence, which is not that rare when you're talking about people with millions of dollars in the account, because that's customer service. And if you, as the bank employee, get the wrong kind of vibe with your customer who has millions of dollars, that person's going to say, screw you, I'm taking my money elsewhere. So to me, that was plausible. And also, I think cultural, that whoever was lazy at the bank was talking to a Japanese person, and that person passed himself off as Otani. So there are lawsuits that are going to be coming. But in recent months, I mentioned the Marcano scandal, the biggest since the Black Sox. Throw Pete Rose in there, but different category. But in terms of betting on games in which your team is involved, biggest scandal since the Black Sox of 1919. In the NBA, you had the Jontay Porter situation, and that's relevant because there was a report from one of our guests this week, Mike Vorkunov of The Athletic. He broke the story that Porter, now the disgraced former member of the Raptors, is set to show up in a federal court next week on July 10th and plead guilty to a federal crime after he was discovered to have been giving information to gamblers about games he was going to play in or not play, so they could do the under-over on points, minutes, that kind of stuff. And Porter was also betting on at least 13 NBA games. Now, this was not earth-shattering because most of you had never heard of Jontay Porter, just like you hadn't heard of Marcano. But if we're already here with active players getting caught breaking the cardinal rule, that is, especially in baseball, posted on signs in every clubhouse, how much worse is this going to get? And I realize there are some guardrails in place, and that's how these guys got caught. So maybe they're just not that bright. The term criminal mastermind is usually an oxymoron. But what else is going to have to happen for the majority of sports fans to wake up and go, you know, something might be amiss here? And I'm not saying we should have prohibition on gambling. It's a reality. If you want to bet, do so legally and responsibly. But it is just very interesting to me. We're not that far along in the cycle of sports gambling being legal on a state-by-state basis, and we've already had a series of what would have been earth-shattering developments in the past, and now it's, okay. Primarily because of the people involved, I guess it's going to take a household name getting caught up in this, unlike Otani, not a victim, somebody actually getting their hands dirty to get some kind of response from the general sporting public. I'm Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen. Speaking of gaming, Las Vegas, Nevada is going to become the centerpiece of the college football world on Tuesday. We have Big 12 media days coming up in Nevada, kicking off the return of college football. We'll expand our focus and look at the marquee programs around the nation. For example, how is Alabama shaping up in the post-Nick Saban era? We'll find out when we check in with Pete Futak of collegefootballnews.com. That is straight ahead here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V podcast, wherever you listen.
Weber back with you. Final content block wrapping up what has been an outstanding week. Filling in for Rich and the guys here on the Rich Eisen Show. And let's wrap it up with style points. Always a pleasure to check in with an old friend, Pete Futek of collegefootballnews.com. Pete, I had people asking me, hey, fill-in guy, why in the world are you talking college football? And my thought would be, A, I have a microphone. I can do whatever I want to. B, Pete is a dear friend, always entertaining. And C, somehow, the Big 12 is having their media days in Vegas starting next Tuesday. How did we get to that now in college football?
Well, let me start with this, to answer all your critics out there. It's because you're obviously trying to save this week. And so, you know, it's all gone awry. You know, do you put your best penalty kicker up first or last? You know, it's a tough call, but I will do what I can to bring this up and try to, you know, give America something interesting while this tarnal is flying by with not a muffler. It's in Vegas, first of all. So, it's not like you leave the media days when you're in Vegas to go outside in the 119-degree heat. But, yeah, remember, it's crazy. Think about last year at this exact time. The discussion, and I might have even been on with you about this, was, well, the Pac-12's got to do something to expand. They're crazy not to go get San Diego State and UNLV, and maybe they should. And maybe UConn's going to go to the Big 12 and stuff. There was no way the Big 12 last year at this time thought in a million years that it was going to get, you know, Colorado, Arizona State, and Utah. I mean, that was the dream scenario. And a year later, a little bit more interesting media days than you've had in the past for the Big 12.
Thanks, Pete. You know, I had gone through all the stages of grieving.
I'm sorry, too soon.
And now
soon,
I have to call my therapist after the program. Hey, the good news is the Big Ten Network actually knew who I was, so at least they said hello. You might hear me doing gymnastics as I'm trying to cobble my career together.
The Pac-12 still exists. It's
I'm never going back to Pullman, Washington. I can say that out loud. In fact, let me tell you a little bit about my backstory. When my career was winding down in San Francisco as a boy genius broadcaster in my 20s, I got exiled to Pullman. Thank goodness that was the Mike Price year. So I covered their Rose Bowl run. We won't talk about Mike taking his talents to Alabama, but that gets me to exactly where I wanted to go. This is a national program, so it is the
professional segue.
Thank you very much. It is the start of a new era in Alabama. And we know Kellen DeBoer has rocketed up the coaching ladder, going from Fresno State to Washington, taking the Dogs in the national title game. So what's the outlook for the Tide on the field year one after Saban?
They're still great. I mean, here's the thing about this in a general sense that everyone's going to have to get used to quickly, and it's going to feel weird. Is that, you know, Alabama was at such a twisted, unattainable level for so long. You can't do what Saban did and be that good and be in the 14 college football playoff national championship mix every single year, because at some point you're going to have something go wrong. At some point you're going to lose, you know, by a kick six. You can actually point to like six different plays that had it not been for those actual six plays, Alabama's like a 15-time national champion or something. So, like, you can't do that, but you don't have to now. So while Alabama fans are thinking, oh, gosh, we're never going to get the Saban era back, well, you don't need it now because you have a 12-team college football playoff, and all you have to do is, if you're Alabama, is just maintain that regular level of greatness. Be 10-2. You don't even need to go to the SEC championship. That's kind of irrelevant. And actually, it's sort of in a weird way a positive now to not play in the championship games, because you get more time off to prepare, and instead of your 13th game being against like Georgia or something, your 13th game is going to be a home game in the first round of the playoff against, you know, maybe a Liberty or somebody. So it's actually not a bad deal. So Alabama is certainly going to take a step back. You just can't keep that level going all the time at Alabama or anywhere. And it's okay, because now you've got the buffer zone of you can lose two games and be okay. Whereas for the last million years of college football, you lose 10 games in the SEC, you know, you get a T-shirt, a peanut butter sandwich, and a swag bag for some nice bowl, but you don't get anything else in terms of the national championship hunt.
Covering a lot of ground, as always, getting you set for the return of college football with the great Pete Futak of collegefootballnews.com. Pete, you are immersed in Big Ten country, which now stretches from, what, Piscataway to Seattle?
We all are. We're all immersed.
Yeah,
in
you run the world. That's why I'm being nice. I'm going to need some work soon. Let's start with the reigning Big Ten champs. So how does this season come together without Jim Harbaugh, without J.J. McCarthy? And let's talk about sign stealing, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, another step back, because you can't lose all that and maintain that. I mean, because Michigan last year, that was the 2019 LSU thing. That was every once in a while a program just kind of have everything magical happen at once in every way possible for Michigan last year. And so you're not going to be able to repeat that. The other problem is, yeah, beating Ohio State, that's been cute and fun at all for the last few years. They just went nuclear. I mean, they basically just got every player possible. So
you're talking about the Buckeyes, right? Because I was going to ask you, yeah. I follow recruiting, yeah. And the buzz is if Ryan Day doesn't win this year, Urban Meyer is going to be back on that sideline or somebody else, given all the talent he has.
Yeah, not to go off of Michigan, because to answer your question, same sort of thing. There's going to be some tough fights, because they've got some nasty games. There are three losses or four losses on that Michigan schedule somewhere. You're right. I mean, the crazy part about Ryan Day is, I did this, there's only like 12 coaches that have been able to be around for 5 years and have like a 60% winning percentage. It's like, yeah, it's harder than you think in college football to win 6 out of 10 games. We assume everyone does it, but they really don't. Ryan Day's won like 89% of his games. Like, he's lost to Michigan a couple times, a few times now. He lost the national championship to a killer Alabama team. He lost to Clemson in the college football playoff. I mean, there's one loss to Oregon, which is, you know, at home, that was slightly, yeah, they probably should have won that, but didn't. That's it. They don't lose games that they shouldn't ever, except, you know, last year's bowl game didn't have anybody, so that didn't count. But Ryan Day, you can't lose to Michigan. You can win everything else, but and even come within a missed kick of winning the national championship 2 years ago, and it still doesn't matter because he hasn't beaten Michigan, and Buckeye fans are crazy, and even if they had won the national championship a couple years ago, they'd be like, oh, yeah, well, we lost to Michigan. And you just can't do that there.
I'm Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen. We are taking you around the nation with Pete Futak of collegefootballnews.com. Pete, you work in radio, so I'm going to give you a time cue. I'm giving you plenty of time. We have 5 minutes left in the show. But this is such an expansive question, I know you could probably talk for 4 minutes and change. 12-team playoff now. Give me a few possibilities beyond the usual suspects that could emerge and win it all.
Give me win it all.
Nobody, win it all.
There's nobody who can win it all. Forget it. Nobody. Ohio State or Georgia. If you're getting
all right, how about sneak into the playoff? Let's make it interesting.
Exactly. No, the win it all thing. I mean, go to your Ryan Day point. If Ohio State doesn't at least play for the national championship this season, a complete dismal failure. Same going for Georgia. Now, in a new, this is where it's going to get a little funkier, because before, you could sneak into a 4-team college football playoff like TCU, and maybe, just maybe, you have a Michigan team that just comes up with the worst game plan ever, and maybe you can play for the national title. You can win one, you couldn't win two in that system. Who knows what we're getting now? Because, you know, either it's a case of, you know, it's a long playoff, because it's going to go from the end of November to the end of January. You're going to get a lot of cases of NFL-itis. You're going to get some, you know, injuries here and there. something quirky could happen in the playoff bracket. So it's going to be a little harder to see. But the long-winded way of saying, if you gave me 5 minutes, it's Ohio State and Georgia and everyone else sneaking into the playoff. That's where this is going to be fun. Look, I'm an old man. I hate everything. But I do like this because you're going to have so many fan bases now that are going to be in it, because if you get to your conference championship and you win it, you're going to get in it from a Power Four standpoint. So you just named it. We talked about the Big 12 before. Name the team. I mean, everybody. Where's the real weak link this year? I mean, Houston's better. Cincinnati's better. UCF's better. BYU's better. Every team in the Big 12 is just about the same level, with Utah and Arizona and Oklahoma State just like in Kansas State just a smidge higher. So any one of these teams in this wacky league could get to the Big 12 championship, and if they win it, they're in it. So that's why this year, more than ever before, like last year at this time, we'd be talking, we could pretty much say, okay, well, let's just say 95 teams are already eliminated from the college football playoff. This year, pretty much everyone's in it, So then it gets, really quirky, where who's going to be that group of five program? Is it going to be Boise State, Memphis, Liberty? Someone's going to have to get the seat at the adult table and get that 12 spot. So in the way we're going to be looking at college football, I almost think it's in a way underplayed just how much fun this is going to be in mid-November, because you're going to have like 40 schools that are all vying for 12 spots.
A November to remember. I'll look forward to reading that on collegefootballnews.com. Pete, always
I'll give
great.
You credit for it.
Always lie, great to reconnect. Hey, I have 30 seconds here. We're virtually the same age. We have the same frame of reference. Did you see the new Beverly Hills Cops movie, and did you like it as much as I did?
I've not seen it. I was not a Beverly Hills Cop fan to begin with. I don't know why. I know. I've seen it on the resume, but that was not one of those that stuck with me as much as like a Trading Places was in the Eddie Murphy days, for example.
Okay.
I liked it. Thought it was all right. But I'm sure. But yes, I like all those. I like the Top Gun remix. I'm sure if I cared about Roadhouse, I would have liked the Roadhouse remix. But like, yes, I'm all for all the 80s remixes, because movies now, other than those, I just can't do. So yeah. I'm old.
Feeling good, Lewis. I appreciate the insights. Enjoy the rest of the holiday week, and we'll chat with you during the season.
Looking good, Brian, with 2 B's, Weber.
Thank you, Pete Futak of collegefootballnews.com. I thought Pete would have nailed. I handed it. I put on a T, Beverly Hills Cop. Although I guess you don't become the publisher and the mogul behind collegefootballnews.com without spending more time than yours truly rewatching the movies from the 80s that were part of the lexicon. If you've not seen Trading Places, just throw that out right now. Still holds up. The greatness of Eddie Murphy. Goonie Goo Goo. Was that Raw or Delirious? I might listen to that on the YouTube driving home. What a week it's been. Now I'm going to take a victory lap in our final minute or so together. But as always, I appreciate your indulgence. I realize my style is different, especially if you've not heard me before, compared to maybe what you get on your local shows. So thank you for being tolerant. I appreciate all of the interaction on the X platform. We can keep it going if you follow me. That is BW Weber, Weber with 2 B's. Want to thank our guests, the great Pete Futak of collegefootballnews.com. In the previous hour of the program, we talked baseball with Keith Law of The Athletic. Many people to thank internally, starting with Rich Eisen. His confidence in me means so much. Bruce Gilbert, all the great people at Westwood One, Jerry Subowitz, my good friend and our outstanding technical producer, Art Martinez. I'm Brian Weber. I hope to talk to you again on Labor Day. Before that, Rich and the guys are back on Monday. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you then on The Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast.
Season 4, I'm glad that it's over.
As we know now that season 5 is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy, because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before season 5 begins, wherever you listen.